In recent years, the term storytelling has crept out of the realm of folklore and into journalism courses and popular radio programs. In Bloomington, the term is undergoing active redefinition in the Storyzilla Story Show. At the season's first show last month, performers shared stories on the theme of The Devil You Know. On Wednesday, October 29th, storytellers will reveal their Skeletons in the Closet on stage at Rachel's Cafe. WFIU's Yael Cassander tracks the elusive Storyzilla.
Nell Weatherwax is used to having to explain herself. Take her newest project, Storyzilla. Is it some kind of monster from the movies?
Yes, I'm the radioactive storyteller that's going through Bloomington. Yeah.
I'm thinking 200 pounds with like 6-inch long serrated razor fangs. Like, this thing is going to be a monster.
Okay, maybe not a monster, but definitely larger than life.
There was that ginormous woman who's 6 feet tall in her skates and weighs over 200 pounds that's just zoning in on me and cannot wait to wipe me out.
What you're hearing is Storyzilla in action. Tyler Ferguson, and before that, Colby Shriver, were two of the 9 people who told autobiographical stories on stage at Rachel's Cafe in Bloomington September 10th. For the season's first Storyzilla story show.
Storyzilla comes from a very focused effort to take the word story and give it a big, intense quality.
Nell Weatherwax created Storyzilla and produces and directs the show.
It's not bedtime story. It's not the librarian on the stool with the little storybook. No, we're adults and it's going to be pretty, you know, real. That's the Zilla.
What you have to understand is that mental illness runs like a black, oily river through generation after generation in my family.
That's Carol Adair from the September Storyzilla. Like Carol, Nell has not avoided the more painful aspects of her autobiography on stage.
I did a whole show once about my brother, who passed away in 2006.
The performances Weatherwax was doing at that time were solo improvisations with a heavy dose of movement theater.
And I had never thought of myself as a storyteller.
It took Rich Perez, then director of the Bloomington Playwrights Project, to point that out.
He wrote a testimonial for me for a grant I was applying for, and he referred to me as a master storyteller.
That description took Weatherwax by surprise, but it wasn't the first time her work didn't fit neatly into a previously defined box.
It's somehow my calling to always be doing some art form or work that has to be really deeply explained.
Take her first foray into theater.
I was known in Bloomington as the mime.
Yes, that's mime. It was the late 70s, long before that word became a punchline. And anyway, Nell wasn't your average mime.
I was a mime that spoke.
She mimed until the late 80s, and in fact, still uses illusory mime techniques in her storytelling. As if having to explain that line of work wasn't enough of a challenge.
And now I'm a hypnotherapist, which means that people think it's like, oh, you're going to make me bark like a chicken?
So she has to spend plenty of time explaining that she's not an evil Svengali. Nell's constant redefinition of shop-worn job descriptions clearly extends to storytelling.
I'm expanding the word. I'm helping us remember that there are so many stories, you know.
And so many unlikely storytellers. The program for the September Storyzilla show bore only one name local radio listeners might identify as a bona fide storyteller.
And this old woman continues to pray.
Arbutus Cunningham has been spinning tales on Bloomington's WFHB for the better part of 2 decades.
And 20 minutes later, I notice that she's not speaking English. She's into the home, and I don't know if it's a tongues or what, but her tongue begins to start licking her lips like this, and she begins to drool, and she got this mad look in her eye, and I realize she's a demon.
But besides Arbutus, the others telling stories that night weren't card-carrying raconteurs. Some were musicians, used to vamping a bit between songs, sure. But the roster included visual artists, a builder, a former drug dealer, and a daycare worker.
I'm trying to find out, am I a city girl at heart? I just have this burning question. And you know, what better way to find out than to join a giant puppet troupe in the Mission District, right?
And there she was, the English customs official. She looked just like Peter O'Toole. She says, I wonder, why are there so many work permits in the back of your passport? I said, oh, I used to be a musician.
There's a very nice woman sitting across this round table from me, and she's asking me all these questions. And my skin is on fire, and there's all this shouting and shrieking in my head, and there's these lights flashing, and I suddenly become aware of my great-grandfather from Longcliff Asylum for the Insane, and he's sort of looking through my eyes, and all of a sudden, he's speaking through my mouth, and I'm standing on the side, and I'm looking at my body, and I'm saying, no, wait a minute, I'm in charge here, this is my story, what the f*** is going on? And she says, you can't leave here. And I say, you don't understand, I've got a client meeting in 20 minutes. And she says, no.
Dilemmas, big and small, lay at the heart of these stories, told by Carol Adair, before her, Krista Detour, and first off, Amy Roche, for all of whom storytelling is just a sidebar. Was the prospect of resolving something painful what prompted them to participate? Bert Gilbert, who's a builder and a sculptor, told a story about the big kind of dilemma.
This is a big tractor, an Aulis Chalmers D17. 50 horsepower tractor, 6,500 pounds, with rear wheels that stood as tall as my shoulder. And as I watched, the front wheels continued to raise. And then they raised a little higher. Oh! The steering wheel slammed into my chest, and the full weight of the tractor coming down on my right arm.
Was there not something therapeutic or healing for you about telling the story?
I think I'm kind of past the need for therapy on this one.
Nobody is going to be stepping up on stage and doing something that's going to leave the audience wondering, you know, who's got their therapist on speed dial.
So Storyzilla is not therapy, and the audience is not the therapist. These stories have been curated and refined. The very fact that the storyteller is standing in front of you, Nell asserts, guiding you from beginning to end, implies that the conflict has been resolved.
You can look at me and see that I'm all there. I'm whole. So it's a walking, talking, happy ending.
I was pretty bruised up, but they let me go the next morning. Stitched up my face, pushed one of my teeth back. It's still back a little bit. But they sent me home with a big jug of Vicodin. Everything was fine, except for my right arm. I had crushed the
Bert Gilbert had survived an accident that had a 10% survival rate, and within a year, his right arm came back too. The accident happened 12 years ago, and, as he's mentioned, he's already processed it. So, why tell the story on stage now?
That experiential remembering the details and the way it impacted you, I think, is a really powerful tool to be able to take into other fine art too.
I don't think of it as I needed to get up there and tell my story to be healed. It was a performance. It is an art form.
The art that moves me the most reminds me of that sentence that Carl Rogers said. He's the father of client-centered therapy. That which is the most specific is the most universal. And so when you tell a story, or when I tell a story about our own heartfelt experience, that's the story that can touch other people the most.
For WFIU Arts, I'm Yael Cassander.
Storyzilla continues on Wednesday, October 29th, with a program dedicated to Skeletons in the Closet. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. at Rachel's Cafe, 300 East 3rd Street in Bloomington.